This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. You chose to hit play on this podcast today. Very smart choice. Progressive loves to help people make smart choices. That's why they offer a tool called Auto Quote Explorer that allows you to compare your Progressive car insurance quote with rates from other companies. So you save time on the research and can enjoy savings when you choose the best rate for you. Give it a try after this episode at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. For business owners like you, the American Express Business Platinum Card works just as hard as you do to help you pursue your passions. With its world-class business and travel benefits, you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. The Amex Business Platinum Card offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business, enabling you to flex and adapt as your business evolves. And you'll earn 5 times membership rewards points on flights and prepaid hotels booked on AmexTravel.com, so that going that extra mile for your business is even more rewarding. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
The kick is blocked. It is blocked. It is blocked. And the Packers have won.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Allen going to step up in the pocket. Now he's going to take it and run. And muscles his way into the end zone. Are you kidding me?
The Rich Eisen Show. Today's guests. Co-host of Good Morning Football, Kyle Brandt. Actor John David Washington, plus latest news and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
That's right. Welcome to hour number 2 of the Rich Eisen Show, live on the air on the Roku Sports Channel. And as if this man wasn't on it enough today, he has been kind enough to turn the machines back on, to use the Trading Places phrase.
Yep.
The co-host, one of the hosts of Good Morning Football, which airs Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern on NFL Network. And then the new extension series, GMFB Overtime. It streams for 2 hours right after that, right here on the Roku channel. Kyle Brandt kicking off hour number 2. Good to see you, sir.
Hey, what's up, brother? Great to be here. Love being here. I remember last time was my first time, and I will stand by my statement.
Yes, sir.
It feels like Jim Irsay's basement. There's just so much cool stuff and memorabilia. I walk the halls when I'm waiting to come on.
Yes, sir.
And if anybody doesn't know, so there's all these pictures that go on and on. It's guests over the years you've had in this chair and others. And I was trying to pick my favorite picture in the hallway.
It is.
And I have the clubhouse leader, and it's someone who doesn't do a ton of media and who's been around for decades. It's you and Jodie Foster.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, Jodie Foster was on the show. I missed that one. Yeah. She was here. What do you remember about it?
Everything. Talking about her fantasy football team.
She plays fantasy?
And she's a Packers fan.
Yeah. What?
She loves Devontae Adams.
It was, I think Jordy Nelson was on one of her fantasy teams back in the day.
Oh my gosh.
How about
that? So Clarice Starling is sitting here saying, well, should I start Greg Jennings? I don't know. He's tough against the Vikings. This is what I'm talking about. It's a really cool hang here.
Yeah, I think she was saying she was thinking of starting JerMichael Finley.
Yeah, totally.
But she knew he and Rodgers weren't vibing.
All had JerMichael Finley back in the day, right?
Everybody was on every
fantasy team.
You go to that tight end waiver wire. You pick up JerMichael for the bye week.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I get it completely.
You know, and now you want a Lion. That's for sure.
Damn right you do.
Best team in the NFL through 11 weeks, Detroit Lions.
Yeah.
No question.
I saw something that there's so many nuggets floating around about the Lions. You get lost in the numbers.
Yeah.
The disparity in yardage with them yesterday and the Jaguars was north of 400 yards.
Yes.
It was the largest disparity in a game since the 1970s. I think it was 1979.
That's correct. I've got the stat right here.
Right?
Because we have the same research staff.
Right,
we do. So these 645 to 170 was the delta in total yards.
1979, the year I was born. And there has never been a bigger ass whooping in the entire NFL than the one we saw yesterday. And I was talking about this when I was with you guys. I was talking about it with Kurt Warner. And Kurt just, what do you like about this team? They're so likable, for just top to bottom. If you're not from Detroit, if you don't have a horse in the race, they pass the jersey test, which means if you go to center field in the middle of the game and look around the stands, most teams have 2 or 3 jerseys that people buy. I think the Lions have 8. You'll see Penei Sewell jerseys, offensive lineman jerseys. And I've been doing this for long enough, Rich, and I know you have too, that I remember it wasn't that long ago where there was a real groundswell of support to say, enough with the Lions on Thanksgiving. End this tradition. They suck. They're always terrible. We should end it now. Uh-huh. It's gone from we have to watch the Lions on Thanksgiving to we get to watch them. It's good.
The Lions' inability to be competitive on Thanksgiving, I believe, is what borne out a third Thanksgiving game.
Really?
Yes.
That makes sense.
That there, it was enough. So enough. I definitely, I know some television executives who are like, this is beachfront property.
Yes.
Why should we grant it to them? Because they had it when Herbert Hoover was president. You know what I mean?
Like, yes.
And so that was the conversation.
Yes.
And now, you know, your Bears are going to be coming in on that Thanksgiving. Yeah. And they're going to be holding on for dear life. You've got to assume the crash position when you take on the Lions, because invariably as well, they beat you up so significantly, you're going to lose the next week too.
I know.
And I mean, physically, it's been borne out.
It's incredible
so far this season.
It has been borne out, and it will continue to be. I'm blown away by the theory of the third Thanksgiving game because of how bad the Lions were.
I believe it was. Obviously,
Rich, I'm in.
Obviously, you know, when money's on the table,
yes.
You know, now there's two Netflix games on Christmas Day, and we're going to be seeing more and more games added internationally to maybe create a package there. I believe the third Thanksgiving night game was born out of, like, let's create another one, because the first one is just basically year in and year out mostly unwatchable.
Yeah.
And then we'll see who the Cowboys can bring in and jump into the kettlebell.
Sure.
And so that's basically it. You know?
Totally sets up. I buy it. It's someone said, guys, the Lions are starting David Blau at quarterback on Thanksgiving. We got to get. I remember the Mike McMahon years. It's always terrible, but now it's like, can't wait to get to Thanksgiving Lions. Amazing.
And, you know, Dan Campbell doesn't have a vast history with the Lions. It does appear that they are balling up all of those years and just throwing it right back at the rest of the league.
I know.
You know, I was joking in hour one, like, which governor is going to come out of the blue and call him classless for beating up on him? Like,
right.
Is it DeSantis because he beat up on a team from Florida? I don't know. I mean, it's crazy what is going on right now with the Lions. They are the clear class of the NFL as we speak. I've got Kyle Brandt here on the Rich Eisen Show. We have not touched this subject yet. Figuring you'd be the perfect guy to do.
Go on.
Your two cents with the Bears.
Yeah.
On Sunday against the Packers is what?
I mean, Rich, this is like you have married Todd Lincoln the morning after the play. I mean, you know, I mean, let me get comfortable. How was the play, Mrs. Lincoln? Well, it wasn't great.
Wow.
Funny you ask.
Okay.
All right. So, emotional game.
But just before you get into that,
yeah,
I've
Todd
never
Lincoln
had a guest
reference.
Compare him or herself to Mary Todd Lincoln before.
Sally
first.
Field plays me in the movie, guys. That's it. Should have won the Oscar. Emotional game for the fans. And I mean football, not even what happened yesterday. When you see a blocked field goal in that situation, in that context, you have to have a human emotion. Anger, surprise, joy, whatever it may be. I promise you, Rich, I promise you, when that kick was blocked, I had zero human reaction whatsoever. I'm sitting here, and here they go, and the snap is down, and they miss the kick, and it's blocked, and the Packers win. I didn't even bump my heart rate. You know, talk about Jody Foster. Remember Dr. Chilton in Silence of the Lambs was talking about Hannibal Lecter? He goes, his pulse never got above 85, even when he ate her tongue. My pulse never even hit 75 when they blocked the field goal. It was this terrible, terrible feeling of having no feelings. That's what they've done to anybody connected to the Bears right now. It's sociopathic status where I wasn't even mad. I'm tired of being mad. I've run them disappointment, anger, fear, shock. It was just you're completely unimpressed, and then let's just go on to the next game. It was tough, really tough.
Well, I have some numbers here. I have some numbers here that I think can give you a little. I mean, there was a bump. I mean, like it did. It wasn't as bad as the previous weeks. I mean, the Bears, obviously, they scored a touchdown. They converted 9 of 16 third downs.
Mm-hmm.
They were 6 of 40 in the previous three games in that regard. Caleb was hitting his back foot.
I know.
Finding people. He had a career high in rushing yards. His third career game with 300 or more total yards, most by Bears rookies since in the Super Bowl era. What else can I give you?
Do you have the one where they lose 11 in a row to the Packers? Is that number on
No, no, that's on here.
The Matt LaFleur has never lost to the Packers. Yeah, that was, you know, what you illustrate with those points, Rich, is that the Bears had the team to beat the Packers yesterday. They had the quarterback to beat the Packers.
Yep.
I don't think they had the guts to beat the Packers at the end of the game. And I hate the final sequence. And you know what? Bears fans may not have feelings, but they do have a memory. They didn't lose to Jaden Daniels and the Commanders because of a Hail Mary. They lost to Jaden Daniels and the Commanders and Hail Mary the play before. The play that set up the Hail Mary, in which they didn't call a timeout, didn't get ready. They moved the ball up. Jaden Daniels chucks it. I hate the final sequence of the game yesterday for the Bears. If you want to get into the details, Caleb has the hottest hand he has had in his young career. His confidence is surging. They get a last completion to Keenan Allen. They hand it to Rashawn Johnson. They're on about the 30-yard line with 30 seconds left in a timeout, and they let the clock tick all the way down because they were happy with a 46-yarder, which was then blocked. There are players on the Packers field goal block team who said, we were actually expecting them to run another play. We had seen that Cairo Santos was kicking it. They all saw it. I don't think they played to win at the end of that game, and I will give you an example of what they should have done. Bills Chiefs. Sean McDermott bleeping went for it yesterday, and they had a 4th-and-2, and they could have gone up by 5 points to take the field goal. He said, no, this is the Chiefs. They're in our building. I'm going to beat them right now. And I don't think the Bears sideline did that with the Packers in their building.
Eberflus had this to say, figured that you might bring this up, and we'd have this soundbite in the shoot. This is what he had to say about his decision to just leave it where it was and let the time tick down for the fateful field goal attempt.
You know, they were loading the box there, you know, so you could say you could do that for sure. Maybe get a couple more yards, but you also risk, fumbling and different things there. We felt where we were, you know, if we at the 36 or 35, you know, you're definitely doing that because you want to get it inside there. I felt very confident where we were at that time with the wind and where we were on the field.
Great. This nonsense. I'm not here for it today, Rich. And you and I usually in lockstep. I don't do the kind of media where I fire this man. I hate that stuff. It's just not where I live. It's not my thing.
Because you know the National Football League, and you know there's families involved and stuff like that. So it.
Absolutely. And I respect Matt Eberflus.
Exactly.
And I've met him, and I like him, and he's a good person. At that point, you're telling me they're loading the box. Well, then throw. Caleb's on fire right now. Throw. You have time. You have a timeout. It just felt this feeling of, I think we're good here. I don't want to do anything more. Let's just kick. And I don't think that's the way to beat any team, let alone a team that beats you every single year. You got to snap the neck. And they just didn't.
I've never seen a team reel from a Hail Mary quite like this one.
I know.
You know what I mean? And I think that's what it is. You feel snake bit. You feel like you got your hands on 10-2 and a foot on a break.
Yes. They were a 4-2 team. And they were cruising, and Caleb was on fire.
I can't believe that I called their last win to date.
Jacksonville.
In London.
Yeah, and they looked great.
They did.
Oh, my gosh.
I know.
If Caleb was throwing pearls, he looked awesome. And they haven't won since. That's unbelievable.
I know. If going down the elevator, told Kurt Warner or anyone else when we were hanging out afterwards that, hey, we just called their last win for at least a month.
Uh-huh.
And they're going to fire their offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
And then one of their losses is going to be, a Hail Mary, and another one's going to be with a blocked field goal.
Imagine if you told Kurt, see that number 29 down there, that backup for the defensive back? Tyreek Stevens is going to be a household name. Like, everybody knows who that guy is now, and they always will.
Or in Munich, when we're in Munich talking to the Carolina Panthers about what was happening with the Panthers, that a week later, the care of Caleb Williams would be placed in the hands of a man who was the offensive coordinator for this whole thing the previous year.
Right. Like, one who got them the guy.
That they were going to audible to Thomas Brown.
I know.
But at least, again, it did. Did look better, and then I don't know if this is going to be helpful. I have an old gen stat right here.
Old gen.
Oh, these are old gen stats right here. Go ahead and hit it.
Let me see.
Old gen stats.
Oh, great. We've got animation and
pencils
and a whole setup. The blocked field goal.
Yeah.
That cost the game for the Bears. It was the first and only blocked field goal by the Packers of a potential game-tying or game-winning field goal on the final play of the game since November 26th, 1939 against the Cleveland Rams.
39?
That's the last time it happened.
Those are the kind of things that are happening right now. The 30s.
And that's our old gen stat.
Beautiful.
On the Rich Eisen Show. Oh, closing animation as well.
Absolutely.
Window dressing.
And we have an old gentleman voice in it. It's everything. Dirty baseball.
It's all good. Yeah. Does that make you feel any better that it's the first time?
Oh, I feel totally better. Yeah, that's completely cleared it up.
These are things that just happen once in centuries.
But I appreciate you reaching for some sort of positivity. The positivity for the Bears might be, and
is,
I mean this,
is
they're very good against the Lions, and that includes the Dan Campbell Lions. They smacked them last year with Justin Fields. Like they don't usually do, they don't play as well as they do against the Lions. They have, I don't want to say they have their number, but they have a chance against them, and Caleb looked good. So that's what we're doing.
All right. Kyle Brandt here on the Rich Eisen Show again. Good Morning Football on NFL Network, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern every single morning, and then GMFB overtime right here on the Roku channel. So let's do this with levels of concern.
All right. Let's
Kyle Brandt's levels of concern. Let's start with, because again, you just tell me how I don't have numbers or DEFCON. It's not like war games or anything like that, but levels of concern. Yeah. Your concern level for the San Francisco 49ers is what?
It's pretty high. Yesterday was a big, big day for them. And that Geno Hero ball touchdown at the end. It's just, it feels like one step forward, two steps back every time. I keep waiting for the 49ers to do the Undertaker gift where they sit up, and that the NFC should have kept them down while McCaffrey was out. They should have eliminated them. But Kittle's out yesterday, Ayuk out permanently. They finally get McCaffrey back. And it just feels sometimes with these seasons, these Shanahan teams sometimes have the snake bitten years where it's like, we just can't get it together. I thought yesterday was going to begin the run. And I still won't count them out, but I thought it was a horrible loss yesterday in which they played really ugly and blew it at the end.
Yeah,
and
Nick Bosa looks like he's got something that's not just going to be a week-to-week thing, too.
Yeah.
Like he definitely, it's an oblique or a hip or something like that. He couldn't get out there. And you know he's going to get out there if he can.
I know he was really happy a couple weeks ago off the field. He looks miserable right now. I know that. So
he needs to
better
make
times,
his,
Nick.
He needs to make his oblique great again.
Maybe he should.
I don't know if it's going to happen. That's one of those things, again, it's not like you put it in a sling and then all of a sudden you can come back.
No. But so, the Niners, I don't know if, like, so I, this is something you, I'm sure you guys have talked about. The Niners might qualify for my favorite type of team this season as we come down the stretch. I love the come running teams. The teams that are kind of middling, can't figure it out, 500, 5-6, and just go on a tear down the stretch. Now, they don't always get in because they lost too many games in September.
Yes.
But there's potential come running factor with the 49ers if they win next week. But there's some come running favorites. There's guys, there's Colts, there's the Dolphins. And it's used to always, the Phil Rivers Chargers teams used to always be come running. And they would always be like a game short. But it's so exciting because they're playing the best football late. They just don't have the best record. There's some teams that are sniffing around for that, too.
What's your level of concern for the Bengals right now at 4-7?
I adored this Bengals team. They're so fun.
Me too. I can't quit them.
I know.
I don't know why I can't quit them.
You know what? We did this morning on Good Morning Football. We did the TNT treatment where I finally had to say they're gone fishing, and we got Burrow with the fishing net and the fishing hook. I got to let them go. They're 4-7. They've lost 3 of 4. They're so fun and so lovable, and they're so exciting, but they almost never win. They have a feeling to me that like they're like a basketball team. And I think Collinsworth was on it last night where he's like, this team's at its best when it just starts jacking up threes. You know, just start chucking it left and right. And they usually don't win, but they are one of the most fun bad teams I have ever seen. And I want Joe Burrow in the playoffs. I say this all the time. It's a better playoffs as Burrow is in because he's the only guy alive who's still beaten Mahomes in a playoff game outside of Tom Brady. And they're just not, we have to let him go. 4-7 is, we can't follow them to 4-7.
I was watching the game with my two boys, and as they showed Burrow trudging off the field, I'm like, there goes the greatest 4-7 quarterback ever.
So true.
You know what I mean? And I heard what Collinsworth was saying. When they go 5 wide, he goes, this is when they're at their best.
Yes.
You know, like, what are they screwing around with any other, you know, formations? Just go 5 wide and let Joe Burrow do his thing. And you look at their schedule the rest of the way, they've got to, you figure they've got to run the table.
6-0. They got to go 6-0.
And so they're going on a bye.
Let's do this. Okay.
They go on a bye. Home for Pittsburgh.
I don't like it.
No, hold on a second. At Dallas, at Tennessee.
Yeah.
Okay. Home for Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
Denver, you know, that could be one of those
games
that it's for the tie break
mm-hmm.
for the at the end of the day. And then at Pittsburgh. Hey. Yeah, I mean, they got to go 6-0 there, right? They can't go 5-1 and stroll in 9-8, right? Even if they have the tiebreak on Denver.
I think you got to get to 10-7.
Don't you think?
They're 4-7. They got to get there. It doesn't make sense either, Rich. It's not just for the usual things. So there's a lot of teams that have talent, but they're 4-7. Joe Burrow leads the NFL in touchdown passes. Ja'Marr Chase leads the NFL in receiving yards. And it's not just, oh, their offense is great. They have the NFL sack leader. Trey Hendrickson leads the NFL in sacks. It doesn't make sense. And yet there they are, 4 wins in 11 games. I can't follow you that far. I'd love to. It's more fun than them getting the playoffs than somebody who might, but I don't think it's going to happen.
What's your level of concern? I'm going to go higher rent. 7-4 Washington Commanders. Once upon a time, 7-2.
Yeah.
Jaden Daniels, you know, he's putting that heat pack on his stomach.
I know.
Would that be a good fantasy team name, TJ? Daniels' tummy packet.
Are you in the right, TJ? You like it?
What do you think?
It's all right. Passable.
No, he's just trying to be nice.
That's okay.
I like Jim Irsay's basement better.
Jim Irsay's basement?
That's the name of the league that I play in, Jim Irsay's basement. It should be, though.
It's very good. Do you have a level of concern for the Washington Commanders? 7-4.
I'm concerned for him. He didn't look like him.
He doesn't look like him anymore.
He doesn't look like him at all. He barely runs. He doesn't throw as accurately. I think something happened to his ribs, and I just don't know if he's the same now. Maybe he will be after this. And you know what? Do we think the Commanders are going to win the Super Bowl this year? No. I look at them a lot like I look at the Broncos. So the Broncos get a great win. Yes, looked awesome. The prior 2 weeks, they had the heartbreaker against Kansas City. They lose to Baltimore. So fine. They lost to some great teams in the AFC with some great quarterbacks. That doesn't mean I want to throw you on the scrap heap. I think still they're going to go to the playoffs. I don't think Washington's going to win the Super Bowl this year. I doubt they'll win a playoff game, but I think they'll be there. And it's a credit to them that we're even talking about them potentially losing in the first round of the playoffs and that being some kind of letdown. So concerned that they're going to go to the divisional? Probably, yes. Highly concerned. But I still think they'll go to the playoffs.
Okay. So let's go even higher rent. 8-2 Vikings. Do you have a level of concern about them?
Yeah, they have that feeling of, man, we peaked really early. I hate to say it. And in the standings, they were the best story of the first month of the season. I don't think it was close. I think the last month from where we are now, it's been the Steelers. But September, it was astonishing. The Darnold and the KOC, it was amazing. And now they still win and their record is good. But do you like them better than the Lions? Of course not. Do you like them better than the Packers? We'll see. I don't like them better than Philadelphia. I think the problem with Vikings is they set our expectations so high that this could be the story of the year. And if you compare them to some of these NFC teams right now, they just don't pass the look test. Level of concern Vikings is pretty high.
So who's going to wind up being, TJ, I'd like you to chime in here, the proverbial NFC team nobody's going to want to face? The Packers turned out to be that team.
Yeah.
And it would have been amazing to have called your Packers shot in between weeks 11 and 12 last year. So I understand what I'm asking now. You're shaking your head. You don't think there is one? It's got to come from the NFC West. How does that sound?
Is there anyone that really, I mean, I guess the Niners maybe, but are they scared?
What about the Rams?
Help with the definition of never wants to face. So we're not talking about the Lions. What are we talking about?
The proverbial team first round of the playoffs you just don't want to face. You don't want them. You don't want to draw them. Dallas drew the wrong one last year, and look what happened. They're all in all the way to today.
I got one.
What do you got?
The Cardinals. It's the Cardinals.
Okay.
I love the Cardinals. And the origin story here, I know a lot of people love them now. Last year, it's a 4-win team, all right? It's a sleepy little market. No one's interested. A head coach who's meme to bejesus and a quarterback who everybody makes fun of. They only won 4 games. Those 4 games were badass. They beat the hell out of the Cowboys. Right. They beat the Steelers. And then this year, they come out and they had a couple games. Everybody wrote them off. When I knew they was big time, and I was on this, I said, when we're going into the Cardinals-Dolphins game, it is the same weekend that the Call of Duty video game comes out. It comes out 2 days prior. All right. It comes out on Thursday.
Yes.
The game is Sunday.
Yes.
That is the Call of Duty Bowl for Kyler Murray against the Dolphins. If he plays terrible in that game, they're going to eat him alive. I bet you he'll be majestic. And he was incredible. If he can beat Call of Duty, he can beat somebody in the wild card round.
So now are you saying that he beat the fact that he would have been consumed? Yeah. Some of his prep time was consumed by Call of Duty?
Yes, he would have been like, I did a 72-hour binge on Call of Duty. I have no idea what the Dolphins are doing defensively. I'm totally lost. Rich, in that game, he was so dialed in. The Dolphins defenders were like, wow, Kyler's here. And I'm a huge Kyler Murray supporter in 2024 because we've done every single video game joke, every study clause, every he's short joke. I just am over it. I think it's not funny anymore. So I'm rooting for him. And I do not want to tackle James Conner in the wild card round. And I don't want to have to contain Kyler. Right. That's the team.
Except that if the playoffs started today, it's Green Bay at Arizona. Green Bay is my team you don't want to play in the playoffs.
You like them?
Again.
They almost lost to the Bears yesterday. Do you understand that? The Bears? I don't think Green Bay's playing that well.
But this is when Green Bay started putting the pedal to the metal last year.
Yeah.
You know, for sure.
Josh Jacobs runs hard. They have four good receivers.
Yeah.
You like what you're seeing from Love? It's weird. It's sloppy. Yeah,
he's playing wonky. He's playing Farvian, which was always fun.
All right, but Favre's winning MVP is doing it, though. I don't know. He doesn't have the same. He's not under the radar like he was last year. He's also this not emerging star. Now he is the star. I'm not afraid of the Packers right now, and I think it's because they almost lost to the Bears, and that's a terrible currency.
All right. Last one for you,
yes.
Kyle Brandt. How about this one? Best team Josh Allen's ever had. The current 2024 Buffalo Bills. Yay or nay?
Nay.
Why? It doesn't matter. The other ones had the stars on them.
The best record he's had.
I understand that.
Yeah. So I
but this is a team, man. This is a team. Like, if James Cook isn't going to be running between the tackles, let's get Ray Davis.
I know.
If we're not going to have Keon Coleman,
go on, Ritz.
We don't have Stephon Diggs here, we don't have Dalton Kincaid, it's going to be Khalil Shakir moving the sticks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Mm-hmm. We're going to get Dawson. It's going to be the Dawson Knox, reclamation weekend. You know?
Shoeless Mac Hollins.
You know what I mean? Shoeless Mac Hollins. You know, like, it doesn't matter that no Poyer, no Trey White didn't work with them.
They got a game from Vaughn yesterday, you know?
Ed, let's do it. Every now and then you might get a Vaughn game.
Mm-hmm.
Best team Josh Allen has ever had, the current 2024 Buffalo Bills. I now took one last hack at it. I'm not saying that you have to change your answer, but what do you think?
I still think that team in overtime at Arrowhead with Sim sitting on the bench and losing the coin toss. I think that was a runaway Super Bowl champion. I love that team. I really respect this team. It's a very compelling case you just laid out,
Thank you.
And there's this sense of screw it, Josh Allen's going to do it himself. I don't think it's the best team they've ever had. I think it's the best record they've ever had. And my take larger today, mm-hmm. Rich, about the Bills is don't pretend like yesterday was a huge deal. Don't make it a bigger deal than it was.
Well, Josh did not.
I love it.
Yeah, I know. I did too. He kind of totally downplayed
it. Refuses to give it any credit. Just another game in the schedule. Even the McDermott saying there was not a statement game. There's no parade today. Josh Allen has beaten Patrick Mahomes four times. He does it pretty much every year. So don't act like we have to do backflips now because we beat the Mahomes team. Just business as usual. I loved Josh Allen after the game, Tracy mm-hmm. Wolfson. And I know it gets a little exhausting because from Josh, you want a little more of a human reaction. Did you see him in the end zone? He's a complete maniac. That's his human reaction.
Right.
But the fact that he has this way to come down and say, not really that impressed with ourselves, we'll see them again, I would take the cue from him. That was so professional and so cool.
But the sense, again, that in the same way that we're thinking the Chiefs aren't all that because they're so lucky and they're going to have to, how long can they keep pulling it out of their, you know, orifice? And so the general sense is that for the Bills in this regard is when the playoffs hit,
mm-hmm.
the fact that they don't have those star players and those big name, bold face, Pro Bowl, surefire players.
Yeah.
It's going to haunt them that against a Ravens team that's already beaten them. It'll haunt them against the Steelers team that they're going to end up having to see potentially. Right. It'll haunt them. And I don't know, man, like there's a beauty in the sum of the parts that's going on right now. And they have the one huge part in Josh Allen. That's why I'm asking, best team he's ever had.
If I'm going to make the case and help you make the case, and if I would come over, I think it's because Josh Allen's the best place he's ever been between the ears. I don't think he's ever been happier. Now, I'm talking about his team, his huddle, his roster. From everything I understand about his personal life, is going swimmingly, and God bless him for that. But the Steph Diggs thing wasn't really a start-to-finish thing. That was a playoff thing. Diggs would lose his mind sometimes in the playoffs. He would not perform well. He'd do the sideline histrionics. He'd do all of that. And Josh would constantly be asked about it. And I think that he was very happy to have him leave, not because of the season. They had great memories. And Steph Diggs was a great Buffalo Bill.
Yeah.
It would always be something in the playoffs. So when you watch his body language and him before games, during games, I think Allen has never been lighter and happier. And that would be the case, is that he could do it because of how good he feels.
Yeah, the play caller, everything. And he did say afterwards multiple times, there's a lot of love in the locker room.
And I believe it.
You know, and they're not going through, you know, knock on wood.
The off-the-field stuff. Yeah, I remember. Yeah,
with the snowstorms and all the tragedies, crazy stuff.
All that was terrible.
Right.
Like, the DeMar, like, and nobody's,
you know, and the coach is now being praised for his button pushing.
I know. McDermott was awesome yesterday.
That's what I'm saying.
Awesome. Awesome. And, you know, he's not Belichick's little brother. There's none of that going on. It's just a matter of, do they run into one of these AFC juggernauts who they're always there, and they couldn't handle Pittsburgh, or they can't handle Baltimore. I think they're going to play Kansas City again. And, you know, I was I'm pushing everybody on the show this morning because this is prisoner of the moment morning for the Bills. And I'm trying so hard to step back and say, do not jump the Chiefs. Do not pick them apart. Just don't do it, especially against the Bills. I bet if we look up last year and Good Morning Football, when we did our show, we're probably saying when the Bills beat them last year, this is the year. It wasn't the year. We saw the Chiefs get their doors blown off on Christmas by the Raiders, and then they haven't lost for the next 9 months. I won't step on the Chiefs right now. I'm trying to have the perspective to step back and be like, all right, they won 15 in a row, and Buffalo was better than them last night. They'll still be there.
Well, and like I kind of made reference to on game day morning yesterday when you were on it, like if you just lose yourself in the Bills, you and Chris Berman are going to go on vacation together at some point. You can just circle the wagons.
We will circle the wagons.
I am. See Wataneo, you and him.
Me and Red and Andy just hugging.
The Bills redemption.
And Boomer sanding a boat and working on a hotel. I have to give one lovable moment that I loved from game day morning yesterday.
Sure.
So I'm there with Rich and Kurt and Gerald and Mooch and everything. And we're playing a game show. And the point of the game show is the answers to the game show are ridiculous. Ridiculous player names that you would never imagine are real players. The answer to the question is DiCaprio Booty, who is a real player who was on the Chiefs for a little bit. The second Rich says the words DiCaprio Booty, I am like a dog in heat. I need to make a Leo DiCaprio dating joke. It is why I get out of bed in the morning. I have to make it. But there's 50 different voices on set, and I just, it's not set up for that. So I know no one else on set's going to make him. Sure enough, like bleeping clockwork, Eisen comes in with the perfect PG-13. Not R, but also not PG, reference to DiCaprio's dating life. And I was like, thank you, Rich. I can't end this segment without doing it. You were there for me.
Yeah, he had a 2-year career. So I'm like, go figure, DiCaprio had a young career.
Come on! That's what I need. It's all I need. We have to check that box.
That was your reaction. There it is.
That right was
there.
Me. Because I'm sitting there being like, please, someone acknowledge DiCaprio and Booty put together in one name. We have to make a joke. And I had the beer and the cigarette. Yes.
Was he out of the league by 25?
No.
See,
22.
You get it, Brockman. If you would have been there, I could have used you, but I only had Rich. Mariucci is not making the joke about DiCaprio. He's not doing it.
That was the next level. He was in the league from 21 to 22.
That's right. And the second he hit him, DiCaprio just cut him. Turn in your playbook. It's over.
Kyle Brand, everybody. Check him out every single day on Good Morning Football, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern on NFL Network, and then the 2 hours afterwards right here on the Roku Sports Channel. You're the man. Thanks for coming in.
Coming up next in Rich Eisen. So DiCaprio Booty right here in this chair. Thank you, Rich.
27.
Yeah!
We're back in a few.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations. Hey, everybody, let's talk about Game Time tickets. If you haven't noticed, basketball season's right around the corner, and I'm really looking forward to seeing all the great action. And now with Game Time's new feature, Game Time Picks, it's even easier to see your favorite teams play live. Game Time Picks filters out the fluff to show you only incredible deals on great seats so you don't have to waste time searching through thousands of tickets. And here in Los Angeles, there's not one but two pro basketball teams with two different arenas. So you need to see the view from your seat. You also need the all-in pricing feature I've been telling you about. So you get to see your total up front with no surprise fees at checkout. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time Picks. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for details. Again, create an account, redeem my code EISEN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. What time is it? Game Time. The Rich Eisen Show is sponsored by Grainger. Does this sound familiar? You're a maintenance specialist, and you've been squaring off with a leaky radiator at your facility for hours. You're both drenched in sweat. You've thrown the whole playbook at it, but so far it's got an answer for everything. What you need is a teammate, a pro who's seen it all before, and that's Grainger. With support specialists always ready to chat, the product you need plus a million more, just give this ringer a ring. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by one of their local branches.
I don't know if you're aware, but you going to Yale was brought up on game two of the NBA Finals.
No way.
Yes, because...
Was it the part where the Cavs were really losing at the end?
No, it's not that. It's not that. No. It's that Jeff Van Gundy, who was on the broadcast, said he went to school with you.
No way.
In a class. Do you...
Sorry, Jeff. Don't remember you. You weren't that memorable.
Oops. You don't remember Jeff Van Gundy
in class?
I'm afraid I don't. Because the reverse is true.
No. Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't.
Your phone wasn't lighting up from friends saying...
No, hey. I wish I'd seen him. I would have been able to see his face and maybe, you know, but
well,
I was...
Well, I mean, I think we could... Can we bring up a picture of Jeff Van Gundy? I don't know. So just stroll down memory lane here. What? The one in the middle is Jeff Van Gundy. Does that ring a bell
to
you?
That rings no bell whatsoever. I'm so sorry, Jeff.
No class reunions at all with Dean Jody Foster and Jeff Van Gundy. Okay.
We noticed you mentioned on the air that you were classmates with Jody Foster at Yale.
Yeah, and then you cheap shotted me afterwards.
No, I don't know. I don't
like,
know about cheap.
You brought her on and just feigned total indifference to my existence in the world. It was a setup. I mean... Our freshman year, there was 12 guys on the floor. We all threw in $100 and said, hey, the first guy that gets a date with Jody Foster, you win the money. I'm coming back from the gym in the early fall, and there's a candy shop right outside the big quad for freshmen. The popcorn is popping. It smells great. And from behind me, someone goes, man, that popcorn smells good. And I turn around, and it's her. And I totally choke, and I say, yeah, yeah, and I run to my dorm, right? I was scared. I was intimidated by it.
So great. Absolutely great. Love it. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's go to Hessel in Arlington, Virginia. Hessel. First and first up. What's up, Hessel?
What's up, Rich? How's it going, everyone? Definitely something for your overreaction Monday. So you see what's going on with the Bears and Matt Eberflus's lame duck session as a head coach. The Raiders need to fire AP.
Oh, boy.
I wanted him, but we're going to be starting a rookie quarterback with a coach that's on shaky ground going into the next year. Might as well cut the cord, pay for Ben Johnson or Mike Graves.
Wow. I just don't know what Mark Davis, you know, I how's it? Let's take this piece by piece. First of all, the job that he did last year was so significant for him to have the interim tag removed. The most important player on the team, Max Crosby, said, I want him. And it would be really problematic, essentially, if you don't take the interim tag off. Then the problem was that he won enough games as the interim to deserve to have the interim tag removed that it knocked him so far down the draft order, they didn't have a shot at any of the rookie quarterbacks, including the one that's sitting there in division, killing it right now for the Denver Broncos. Because they, you know, the trading position, either they didn't like him. I don't know why. I'd love to know the DNA of their evaluation of the quarterbacks. But you could pretty much know that Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell wasn't going to be a division winning strategy this year, and it's just really gone south. So what is Tom Brady's role going to be in this one?
Well,
what is Mark Davis's desire to pay dead money to a coach?
Well, reportedly, Brady's going to have 90% input on personnel.
What does that mean? 90%?
It means he's going to be heavily involved.
I don't know, Hessel. This one's going to be fascinating to me. Who's going to take this job if they won and done somebody like that? You know, winning over the locker room might be a question.
Tom Brady solves all problems. If he can convince Braves, then we'll take him, you know. I wanted AP. I thought he would be the rah-rah guy for the franchise, especially with Crosby won him over. But it's just things aren't looking bright. And if we're going to go into next year with him potentially losing his job and us having a short door Sanders, or any quarterback, we want someone with more offensive mindedness, I think, developing him than what you're seeing with Caleb Williams and the downfall from with the Chicago Bears.
Thanks, Hessel. I appreciate it. And obviously, any team that drafts Shador, well, the draft would happen after any coach that gets hired find out what's going on with Prime.
Just don't know if that's what he's interested in.
He has said he is not. He has said he is not. And, you know, Irv going on Friday night on Netflix, sitting next to Jerry Jones before the Paul Tyson fight, saying, you know, I'm going to talk to Jerry about Deion, essentially. I'm going to be in his ear about him. Because Deion got that result from BYU in Kansas that they needed while they pounded the crap out of Utah. Deion's got a destiny-controlled path to the college football playoffs right now.
Yeah, well, he's going to get a lot of calls about the pros.
I'm sure, certainly since his son and Travis Hunter and Shiloh and all those folks are going to be coming. Again, in Vegas, just to, he and Antonio Pierce are tight. They're represented by similar people, same people. I just don't know about that one. And you know, everybody's thinking Brady's going to go get Belichick. While I'm here, my phone is burning up about Belichick to Jacksonville right now. Burning. Multiple people.
It makes a lot of sense. A lot of people were connecting the dots, too. I don't know if it was Mike Florio who did first, but Belichick and Trent Baalke were together with the Jets way back in the day. Baalke was a scout, and I'm wondering if they could work together in Jacksonville.
Oh, so Baalke could be the guy in the front office that just, you know,
kind of
stamps some things?
Right.
All right. I mean, sitting right there, Doug Peterson, man. That one is just...
We're still waiting.
Again, when I heard all these reports coming out that Peterson would get got if he doesn't beat the Lions, the most rampaging number one team in the National Football League, certainly at home, they are. They certainly are.
No. I mean, the idea that they could beat them. It was a 13-point spread.
Right. With Mac Jones, right. I texted the group right away that if this happens, it's like the virtually most difficult win of the year would be right now taking on the Lions in Detroit, coming off a game where they won, but they feel like the need to prove themselves with your backup quarterback. And to say, if you don't win that, you're going to get fired now, made me think on the spot, it's the race for Belichick. That, you know, Bill sounds exactly like the guy who would say, I'm not talking to you, you don't have a job open. So, Peterson, I mean, it's just, I love this guy, man. It was tough to see his press conference afterwards. Again, getting obliterated. Worst loss in the history of the Jaguars. This is what he had to say afterwards.
You know what? I can't control that. And, listen, I've been around this league a long time. You know, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen, obviously. But at the same time, I still have a job to do, and that's to you know, get ready for a good division opponent here in 2 weeks.
I mean, it's tough. This league, man, and Antonio Pierce is feeling it right now. That's for sure in Vegas. But I mean, if you believed in his abilities last year, right? I mean, Zamir White's not the same. It's just a different team.
No Devontae Adams, obviously. Right. Brock Bowers.
The coach gets fired, and you got guys who want to play. Brock Bowers is a superstar.
Yeah.
He is that. But I mean, you just knew something's up with the quarterback, that you're not going to go through 17 games as successfully as you did just, you know, five last year.
Just feels like Mark Davis got bullied by his players last year in the hiring. AP.
Man, this is going to get wild. Vrabel is not a bad choice for anybody, by the way.
I expect him to be back on the sideline next year.
Sure.
Yeah.
And screw it. If the Buckeyes don't go as far as the faithful think they should go, that's another one.
Which is what, to the Natty?
And win it. Yeah. Natty and win it.
How far do they need to go to save Ryan Day's gig?
I don't know. Talk to a Buckeye fan about that.
Yeah.
By the way, I mean, at least to the Natty.
Feels like it.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. More of your phone calls. John David Washington is going to be in studio, hour number 3. Can't wait to see him here. And you on our phones. Talk Niners and the NFC West still to come.
For business owners like you, the American Express Business Platinum Card works just as hard as you do to help you pursue your passions. With its world-class business and travel benefits, you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. The Amex Business Platinum Card offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business, enabling you to flex and adapt as your business evolves. And you'll earn 5 times membership rewards points on flights and prepaid hotels booked on AmexTravel.com, so that going that extra mile for your business is even more rewarding. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness. Let's talk LinkedIn people and small business owning. I'm a small business owner. Yeah, I might host the Rich Eisen Show, but I run it too. Rich Eisen Productions is a small business. And when you're hiring for small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. And that's why you've got to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. It's not just a job board, this LinkedIn. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. LinkedIn knows that small businesses are wearing so many hats and might not have the time or resources to hire. That's why you got to use them. Post your job for free at LinkedIn.com/Eisen. That's LinkedIn.com/Eisen to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. Back here on the Roku Sports Channel, everybody. Kyle Brandt in the parking lot. Heading out. John David Washington coming in here. We have not had John David in studio.
Correct.
We've had him on the phone before, yep, talking about Tenet, which I still don't understand.
Nope.
That's what we had Christopher Nolan on for his remote drop movie, and he said it was
Ricky Bobby.
Ricky Bobby. If you're not first, you're lost. That's what he said. So John David coming in here, I'll tell the story about his dad coming to NFL Network in the summer of 2006. We were 3 years old. He wanted to watch his son play preseason football for the St. Louis Rams. And he is now coming into the studio as a bona fide actor of the first variety in support of The Piano Lesson, which is in select theaters now and available for streaming on Netflix on Friday. And this one, again, packs more of a punch than what we saw on Netflix Friday night. Ready to talk about that, gents?
Sure. We should talk about the women's fight before.
Oh, definitely. Well, for sure.
Insane.
We're going to talk about all of it.
Insanely
We're going to talk about all of it.
Yeah.
We'll talk about all of it. And then more of your phone calls. 844. Oh, phone lines are lit. We got to talk about a lot of stuff here. What are the games we haven't discussed yet? We haven't discussed Niners and the Seahawks.
Nope.
I got that one right here. Mm-hmm. Tua's return to action is going very well.
Very well.
Right?
Very well.
And Anthony Richardson's return to action went very well in the fourth quarter.
He's back.
And he beat the Jets.
And Jameis had almost 400
Go
yards.
Go figure that.
Cooper Kupp ball.
Cooper Kupp ball, that's right. Game time tickets. Get it on a mobile device near you and start buying tickets to anything in your area. The Game Time Picks feature. It's Game Time's newest feature. It will help you see your teams play live, your favorite teams, make it even easier for you to do that. Because when you go on the Game Time Picks and you start using its curation system, it only shows you the incredible deals on great seats. It's amazing how it figures this stuff out for you. And so you don't have to waste time searching through thousands of tickets. The all-in pricing feature shows you your total up front. No surprise fees at checkout. So when you see your total, you know, before you buy, and then you hit the purchase, and it's the same total, voila. Unbelievable. I don't know why I get such a kick out of that every time I use it. You take the guesswork out of buying tickets right away with Game Time Picks. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use our code RICH, $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for details. Again, create an account, redeem my code RICH. It's really our code together, collectively. $20 off. Download Game Time today. What time is it? Game time. We'll take our phone calls and just please hold on. We're going to, top of the next hour, I'll have some real estate for you.
Friday night, I kept texting Chris, tell me when the fight's on. Because I know you were watching it.
I was dialed in.
You know, I'm just like, I just, you know. And then I'm seeing, you know, Irv's on with.
Everybody with was Jerry there, Jones. Man.
And then comes one of the craziest wrinkles in sports television, I think. Boxing analyst Rosie Perez. Didn't see that one coming at all.
Nope. See, you guys don't watch a lot of boxing then because
she's a fan.
She's just a huge, call her like the first lady of boxing.
Rosie, that is correct. Perez. I don't watch a lot of boxing. Yeah, I do not.
Yeah, so.
Didn't expect to see her on the broadcast. I knew that she was a big fan, but.
She was part of it.
Yeah.
And with Roy Jones Jr.
Jones and yeah. And,
Mauro Ranallo.
Yep.
Who I love. Like, I'm a huge Mauro Ranallo fan. Just legendary.
I know.
In the combat sports world. I mean, he's called wrestling.
That's right.
He was pride fighting.
Yep.
He was so in it, he made Joe Tessitore sound like a librarian.
Kate Scott on the desk.
Plus Mauro's one of the goats when it comes to mixing pop culture references and with his announcing of sporting events.
We watched the women's fight first.
That was, the co-main event.
Yeah.
Right. And Cooper has never seen an eye cut quite like the one that we saw in that fight.
Nasty.
He was flipping out.
There haven't been a lot of eye cuts like that.
Nasty. Yeah. That
flipping out.
Oh. And at one point, they got right in there as the cut man, smearing the Vaseline.
I thought you were talking about Tyson's bare ass. Getting right in there.
Like Bernie Mac said, you could see to the white meat when she was cut.
So, yeah, the Tyson just strolling off on the camera, and then you see his bare ass.
First of all, I didn't expect that one. I didn't know that was his son. His son's working for, Netflix? Okay. Or whoever.
Oh, I didn't know that either, yeah.
Yeah, that was his son who did the interview with
him. Hence the cheek kiss.
There you go.
Exactly.
Then
the cheeks.
Then comes the time. Come on out. And what was with the green car with Logan Paul and
they were trolling Mike with the song from The Hangover.
I understand that in the air tonight, whatever, from The Hangover. Who cares? But I mean, this car was going so slow. Xander, my oldest, goes, Dad, why is the car going so slow? Shouldn't you just get out and walk to the ring faster? And I'm like, great idea. And then Logan is spraying Jake with this spray. I found out he's got his new body spray line or something like that. That's apparently what it is. Always be closing, ABC. And, in the air tonight. So I turn to Coop and Zan and I say, who's not going to come out in a car?
No.
Mike Tyson. I said, I guarantee you.
All black.
He is going to come out and he is going to walk himself into that ring.
It's dark and hell is hot.
And he did. And at one point, my boys look at me and go, he looks scary. And I'm like, you have no idea what you're talking about.
Yes, he's scary.
If you thought have that
no
looks scary.
Idea. Like this guy.
Imagine 1988.
And then we watched him look all his 58 years. He did his first two rounds. It looked like
I had a winning round one.
Huh?
I had a winning round one.
Well, I mean, he did. I mean, like, that was the idea is that we were all hoping the puncher's chance, the fighter's chance, the one time that he could just get his sea legs under him and just get enough of a wallop and hit Jake Paul right in the grill and then end it. And that would be something we'd be talking about forevermore. But I got a text from Chris Mannix in the middle of all this, from Saudi Arabia.
What did he say?
Told you.
Yeah.
That's what he texted. Told you.
Yeah.
Which is like, what are we doing? He's 58. There's not going to be any fight. It's not going to be much of a fight. Nothing's going to happen. And eight rounds in, and Tyson's biting his gloves. It was just weird. The whole thing was just weird. It was more of a spectacle than an actual fight.
Right.
Is what it was.
Yeah. I mean, look, I don't know what. I told you guys how I felt about it. I didn't watch it live. I actually fell asleep, caught the replay. I woke up, guys. I had 137 text messages on my phone in like 3 hours between you guys and other chat. So luckily,
watching it.
I just rewound it. I didn't. Yeah, nothing got spoiled. I watched it. It's what you thought it was.
They're saying 60 million people were watching.
Okay.
Well, no. 60 million households.
Households.
That's more than 60 million people.
Sure.
Well, again, it was a spectacle. You wanted to see it. You just wanted to see what Mike would look like. And could he possibly lay a glove on Jake Paul, let alone knock him to the ground? And it was just not to be. It's just father time. It's the sort of thing. And it was kind of wild
to watch. Or it's boxing. And it's not in the up and up.
Oh, please. I don't know. Because at one point, Rosie Perez did say the most, I think she said the thing that everybody was sitting there was thinking is, why isn't Jake Paul finishing him off? Because, you know, maybe it's just like that was part of the deal. It was like, I'll carry you 8 rounds. Yeah. And we'll all make a killing.
And they did. They got paid.
And then Logan Paul busted out the spray can again. And I'm like, what the hell is happening? What the hell is happening? That's the headline of the whole night is what the hell is happening?
Where the hell going on?
You know, and I'll just say this, though, as if I'll say what? Why not?
Say it, Rick. Say it with your chest.
You were texting me, and so is Smitch, the screen of saying it's not working, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I know some friends who kids were watching upstairs. The adults were watching downstairs. The adults one wasn't working. The kids one was working upstairs. They all went into the kids room and watched this thing, like a whole bunch of like 20 people.
Well, I'm sure you were thinking what I'm thinking. That better not happen on Christmas.
Before Christmas.
Yeah. Get that figured out.
Somebody, the buffering expert needs to slide down the chimney because there's two NFL games that are coming. And internationally, I mean, that's going to make that 60 million number look like child's play.
That cannot happen on Christmas.
So, you know, let's just put it this way.
You got 5 weeks to figure it out.
The NFL is not going to get that many people.
Oh, please.
We're going to get more.
Oh, more? There's going to be more.
What?
There's going to be more.
Say what?
So there was Jake Paul, there was Mike Tyson, and then there was Michael Buffering.
Ba-dum-bum.
Although he wasn't there. Who is that dude?
I don't know who that dude was.
I don't know.
Is he the next generation? I'm going to read off stuff.
He was new to me.
Yeah.
But look, they better get it right because Raw's moving to Netflix on January 6th.
Yeah,
I can't have no buffering on the 6th.
All right.
From the Intuit Dome.
Let's go. January 6th? Interesting.
Hey, it's Rich Eisen here. Join me and my compadre, Chris Brockman, every Monday on the Overreaction Monday podcast.
Rich, Jameis has taken the Browns to the playoffs.
Dude, why can't they win 7-8 games to finish the year? Why not?
I'm not saying there's no why not, but this is a definitive statement that's clearly an overreaction and is perfect fodder for a show like this one. I appreciate you coming out of the gate hot. Come react or overreact with us. Overreaction Monday, wherever you listen. It's game over.
Over, man.